Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's King at Jeromney. He's Ski at TSB Ski. Go ahead and tweet at one of those handles if you want to give us our movie for next week. I think we have decided on a movie for next week. I think we mentioned it last week, what our movie is going to be. But if you have any more suggestions, I will take them into account, run them by the guys, or we, you know, vice versa. I also am making a list. So please do keep sending us submissions because we like them and need them. Our movie this week was my movie, and it is on Hulu. It's a Hulu original from last year, and it is Boss Level. It has a 74% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know if that surprises you guys or not, but it kind of did me. It has a 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Upper six.
There you go. And 56% on Metacritic. It stars Frank Grillo, Mel Gibson, Naomi Watts, Michelle Yeoh, Ken Jeong, Rob Gronkowski's in it.
I was going to say, did you guys catch him there at the end?
Not just the end. He was the helicopter.
I know, but he didn't say anything, I don't think, until then.
That was a nice cameo, by the way. It was a nice cameo. And he's in the movie pretty much throughout the whole movie, because the whole theme is him waking up over and over again, and that's literally the first thing that happens to him. Gronk is a prominent figure in this movie, which is funny.
He shot two scenes. One where he dies and the thing goes off the rails, and otherwise he was just the same. And
there was a couple of them you could very much tell that it was a stunt person and not Rob Gronkowski. Like the hair was a little bit longer in the back, definitely not as tall or big because Gronk is huge. Okay, so plot of this.
Go ahead. I had never heard of this movie.
I hadn't either. Other than I was flipping through Hulu and was like, this looks like a silly action movie, and I like those. So let's all watch it and talk about it.
But I was, it was rather abrupt when in my face was Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I didn't know Alex was an anti-Semite.
Yeah. I'm that right. Yeah. I was going to ask you guys that. Is it okay? And I'm not saying I like Mel Gibson. Is it okay for one to like Mel Gibson again?
You brought this up before, King. Yeah, with like, I think you brought up Michael
last
Jackson.
Week.
And,
last week. Separate the art from the artist. Mel Gibson makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, same.
But, you know, hey, we're proud to be an American, and you get a second chance, you know, whatever. He's a bad dude.
Yep.
But he's not going to get the first tier movie chances anymore. But when he does stuff like this or whatever, Murder Santa, whatever he was in this. Like, whatever.
He, you know what he does? He elevates it.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's a shit person, but
he's a very good actor still.
He's a very good actor still. Yeah. I was shocked. I was honestly shocked. I was like, oh, he's good. He's good.
Yeah, he's
this
still
is
good.
What a Cleveland Brown fan is gonna feel like in this year. Maybe next year when he can play, when Deshaun Watson can play again. Yeah. But eventually Cleveland Brown, it'll be the same. Like, wow, I feel kind of dirty, but he's good.
Yeah, I'm really glad he's on my team. I'm really glad he's in this movie. He really did make this better.
See,
he
did. That is the tough thing, because he's not Mel Gibson in the movie. You play a character.
Yeah.
So I have the problem with people. If you hate Mel Gibson, that's fine. But you have to, you know, put this to everywhere else. Like, you cannot like Deshaun Watson. You cannot like Tyreek Hill. You cannot like other actors and actresses that have done real shitty things and are bad people too. You got to fully encompass everyone then that way. I don't like people that pick and choose people to, you know, jump on and say, I don't like him because of this.
That's fair.
In fairness, like, yeah. You know, it, I don't know. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Art from artists, but
I mean, what he did was, you know, disgusting.
You can show your anger by not giving money to the things that they're in. So that's how you send a message. So there is that.
But there is a weird level, though, because, you know, the anti-Semitism thing is, you know, awful. But then there's been a lot of I'm going to butt this, but you know, there's a lot of people that did a lot of but there's a lot of all the homophobic things that a lot of actors have put out too. I mean, they seem to get their second chance a lot quicker than that. I mean, it is worse, but they're both equally awful and shitty.
Well, dude, like Will Smith slapped a guy on stage and got an Oscar like 5 minutes later. So Hollywood is a thoroughly ridiculous place with thoroughly ridiculous human beings.
But I would also say that, like, because you're, you know, the homosexual, you know, slander stuff too. Hey, Kobe Bryant called an official the F word, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But the Mel Gibson, like, anti-Semitic stuff, he was passionate about it.
Yeah.
Like, me, we've all said something that's off color, right? Yeah. Hey, you that's listening, you said something that's off color.
And, we used to say the F word every sentence.
I didn't do the F word thing.
But a bunch of us did. I did.
See, I heard the gay thing. So gay.
Yeah. Well, it didn't even mean that.
Probably the same thing, really.
Yeah. But sure.
But Mel Gibson's, it was so, it was ugly.
It was ugly. Yeah.
Like if Pete Davidson gets canceled tomorrow for calling someone a fag, you know, I'm just saying that word to put it out there.
Yeah.
It's Pete Davidson, cancel him, whatever. It's not going to be as the vitriol for Mel Gibson was. Woo! Yikes.
Yep. Woo! You! Was that a you? Is that a you?
Yeah. Okay, so what's our takeaway then? So we liked him in this movie, but we're uncomfortable with liking him.
I could separate the artist from the art.
Okay,
he's a piece of shit human being.
Yep,
he makes movies better.
Yep, he just does. And so, but by the way, listener, if you have not seen this movie yet and you're listening to this, you should probably stop listening because we're about to spoil the hell out of it. But he is. He is the villain in this movie, the main villain, and he plays it up, has the cigar, has the desk with the couch in front of it turned around the other way, has weapons on the wall. He's great as that part. So I guess the plot of this movie, before we get too far, is a violent Groundhog Day. So
yes,
I was trying to equate it. Groundhog Day meets Crank is how I would describe the movie.
Yes, that is perfect. Yeah. I forgot about Crank. Yes.
Yeah.
So Frank Grillo's character, the movie starts out, and by the way, legitimate comedy in this movie. I laughed out loud at some of the things that they did with the, you know, him dying and waking up again. Over and over again, it was something. It was like 170 times that he redid the thing.
300, I think, in the end. But,
in the end. But the movie hovered for like the first half around that 160 area.
Yeah,
that was significant for some reason. But it's him waking up in his bed with a chick he met at the bar the night before, as we find out later, and a assassin trying to kill him. Him avoiding the assassin, killing the assassin. The chick disappearing because we later find out that she was part of the plot to kill him, and then him getting up and then Gronk in the helicopter outside of his apartment with a Gatling gun trying to kill him. Well, and then him escaping and, you know, Pam and somebody else were these two assassins who were driving after him. But But the first part of the movie is him failing over and over again and getting killed and waking up in the exact same position and the exact same stuff happening over and over again. And so the way they did the comedy of that, of him, like, you know, jumping out of the window and landing,
missing,
him,
or something.
Him forgetting that the bus hadn't gone by yet and then getting hit by the bus was legitimately funny. Like, I loved that stuff. I thought they did that really, really well. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I agree. I think this might be the best opening scene of one of the best opening scenes in the movie, because you forgot that he does have, there's a lot of voiceover work from Grillo in this movie.
Yes. No, he's narrating a lot.
Yeah. But him talking, you know, because you don't know what the fuck's going on to start. And then he goes into this voiceover monologue of exactly what this guy is going to, each move he's going to do at him each time.
Being annoyed.
Pours a cup of coffee because he knows exactly the timing of everything. And it's like a perfect way to start.
It's tedious. Him killing guys over and over again gets tedious because he's done it 100 times. It's hilarious. And it's the same thing every single time. Legitimately, like, so what were some of the other ones? Tries to drive through the fence towards the end of the movie and dies, laughed out loud. He tried the cliche movie thing where you're trying to break into the compound and there's a big fence and you drive the muscle car through it and you start attacking everybody. He drives as fast as he possibly can, just brick wall, dies immediately.
Will Sasso comes up and shoots him in the head.
Oh, that's right.
He says, like, what the fuck are you doing? Or some, he has some little witty line there before he shoots him in the head.
Oh, God.
Before we get too far away from it, I tried to interrupt you guys, but your flow was too good. Yeah, Gatling gun. One of your favorite, like.
When you take the Gatling gun in your hand, like he did at the end.
What a great weapon, right?
A fantastic weapon.
It's got to be a top 5 movie weapon of all time.
The sound it makes is so satisfying.
It had to be an Arnold movie, I feel like, was the first time
we were
shown the Gatling gun.
I feel like that was probably
Predator?
No. You don't think there was Adam West Batman was the introduction to the Gatling gun?
It's just like Oh, guys, you know, so I like dumb, silly action movies that don't
unless they're white ninjas, right?
That don't take the plot too seriously. Nowadays, I'll say nowadays, especially because they really seem to figure out how to do it. Like John Wick was a good sort of, it changed the game in terms of how these movies are made. So now you have Nobody with Bob Odenkirk that came out that was great.
Seen that. Damn.
It's good. It's good. Odenkirk's.
It's great.
You don't expect Saul Goodman to.
Christopher Lloyd with a shotgun in Nobody, dude. Watch that movie.
Ooh. Yeah, I need to see it.
It's on HBO Max.
HBO Max.
Yep. Watch it. It's great. But again, like, the game has changed. And so over the last like 10 or 20 years or 10, 20 is too long. Over the last like 10 years or so, there's been actors who sort of, this was their niche, like Scott Atkins and guys like that, where this is their niche. They make these low budget action movies that just, they're missing something. You like the actor a bunch. You like them in those movies. Like, if you're somebody who's into those, you love them, but they're missing something. And lately, like, John Wick sort of added what was missing, added like gravitas to it. And so now they're a little bit higher budget. They're able to do more things. The story's a little bit better. And this, the quality is better now. And this was a really, like, this was a good example
Ski?
Of that. The people they're getting to be in this movie, they're better.
Ski.
Naomi Watts is in this movie. She's a big actress.
Yeah. Ski.
Yeah.
Are you gravitas or gravitas?
Gravitas.
I'm toss.
Yes. So am I. We're gravitas. Yeah. Oh, gravitas. Alex, you're gravitas.
You guys are GIF guys and gravitas guys.
Gravitas.
But I do agree with you though, Brock, because there was a run of about 10 years, like you said, Scott Atkins, Michael Jai White, Stone Cold had like a 6 to 10 movie run where it was just low budget action movies like this. And like I said, with John Wick, with kind of, this is kind of Deadpoolish too, with how Deadpool is done.
Totally. Yes.
They see there's money involved. If you spend a little money to get good people, they'll see dumb action movies again.
And frankly, the movies from overseas too, like the Raid movies start, like people were into them and they started making money, and now they're getting money to make sequels, and they're doing all of this stuff. And So now that they know people want to watch movies like this, they're actively seeking to make movies like this, and big people are wanting to be in them, which is cool, which changes everything. It makes them all better.
I was going to bring this up to King especially, because this is not like, the story and stuff is not that much different to like American Ninja. The only difference is that everything they shoot is better. You know, like CGI, everything has gotten better, and it just doesn't look so shitty. But they're both bad movies.
Story wise,
like bad story wise action movies. So I was interested to see if King really liked this movie. How much he hates American Ninja.
This was so much better than American Ninja.
So much better.
But what I'm saying, that's just because it's newer.
Yeah.
You know, if they remade American Ninja now, I think you guys might actually like it.
I don't think so.
I don't know about American Ninja. I think if it were Bloodsport, if they redid Bloodsport, that would be a 1,000 times better. Because Bloodsport, as it is right now, is, you know, cheap. So my opinion, obviously, is, you know, cheap, and the acting's bad, and the writing's bad, and you know, I don't think it was a great movie.
But you can't necessarily say the acting was good in this movie.
Mel Gibson
and Naomi Watts was good. Ken Jeong Ken Jeong.
Hey, Ken Jeong, he's a doctor.
Ogre killed in Bloodsport. You can't say Ogre didn't kill in Bloodsport.
Bloodsport is fine. Yeah. American Ninja, get out of my life. I never want to hear it
forever
again.
And ever. I actually wrote down while I was watching this movie, I was like, Ski, it is, if I was really curious what you thought about this, because it if you didn't like this, it would go against everything you said.
Every
for.
Principle you said.
Obviously, I love this movie.
Great.
There's no way I wasn't gonna love this movie.
I was shocked. Yes. I got to say, so I watched it blind. I had never heard of it.
Me too.
I nothing. Turn it on. I'm like, oh, surprisingly good. Watch it. Then go to Rotten Tomatoes and whatever IMDb. And I'm like, wow.
Other people liked it.
Other people liked this.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Okay.
I was surprised too, man.
Well, like I said, they got to get like Michelle Yeoh to do that tiny bit role. Even Naomi Watts, she had her little talk with him in the lab. Other than that, she was barely in the movie. To get those level of actresses in this,
Michelle Yeoh's sequence where she's just a famous sword fighter who sits down to eat in the cafe.
A little racist.
I mean, Ken Jeong's Asian and he runs the shop, so I don't know. Is that race? Actually, maybe
a little racist.
Anyway, so the whole reason she's there is to eventually, after like 140 of his deaths, to teach him how to use the sword before the final sequence against the assassin, who is the sword fighter, who he cannot touch. I love that part so much. Where
dodges every bullet possible.
He kept dying over and over again because he could not shoot her. Even with an Uzi, nothing. She would just dive, jump around, and then cut his head off. And then what did she say? Like, what was her line?
She says, I am Guan Yin, and I did this.
No. I am Guan Yin, and Guan Ye did this.
And Guan Ye did this. All right. Yeah.
I love that so much. how he would do that for pretty much every assassin who he went against. He would die 10 times and just learn how to beat them over and over again, and then beat them in spectacular ways.
Just like an arcade game.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so, it was no, like a video Goro. Game. It's like Elden Ring. Like, you die over and over again. And then eventually,
I have no reference for Elden Ring.
Ski plays.
Well, it's like any old video game. You learn the mechanics because it's the same thing over and over.
Yep.
So if you learn the mechanics for it, you should be able to do it blindfolded.
That is a video game where you die over and over again, like against the same boss over and over again. You learn from each time you die, and then eventually you either quit or you kill him.
So it's like when I was at Wonderland and I was throwing a vinyl on the Aerosmith game at Van Halen, and it took me 17 tries, and I finally hit Eddie Vedder.
It's at Wonderland, no? and it's Dragon Quest. Remember Dragon Quest? Impossible to beat. It was that like 3D game where
Marge picks up the vacuum and starts beating up.
Okay, that was
that's a minimum $20 to beat Simpsons.
Dominated minimum. That game. Dominated.
What that is this Elden Quest, the by the way?
Cross game.
I don't want to, you know, go too far. What the fuck is Elden Quest?
Elden Ring.
Elden Ring.
Whatever. What is it?
It's a video game.
Japanese game. It's a series, but this one's big because George R. R. Martin from Game of Thrones helped write this. Loose the story to it.
Oh, that's so it never ends. You just walk through the forest.
It ends poorly and out of nowhere.
Yeah, he doesn't finish the story, and so it just doesn't end. No. It just goes on forever. That's the joke King was making. Yeah. Because he doesn't actually write.
Is it good?
If you like those games, yeah.
Yeah. I don't play those games because I don't have the patience. To die hundreds of times.
Do you have to like read and stuff? Are there like elves that pop out of the leaves and like, ha ha! If you eat the copium and take a left under the mesopium, ha ha! There's a farth right.
Like, there's no elves. There's no elves, so no elves, but
no elves.
Lot of weird things. I don't know, witches and
witches,
knights and mages. Yeah, all those weird
What's
things.
A mage? I don't know.
Like a wizard.
Magic.
Yeah. That's Kyle Kuzma.
They wear hoods and do magic.
Yeah.
KKK.
Michael Jordan.
OKKK. Sounds great.
Oh, wow. Fun game.
What'd you guys think of the assassins in the movie? All of them cliche assassins characters, and they basically try to fit every single one of them in this movie.
Did you guys find a need to find out that Chick bought a $750,000 Hitler pistol?
The Hitler
pistol?
Was
that needed for the character?
I wonder. I mean, it was the first one he killed point blank, and the payoff was funny because he was like, "That's for the Jews." Pop, 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 and then he walks away, and then
shoots.
Pop, pop, pop. That was for the Jews.
Yes, that was Mel Gibson line.
Yeah, right.
He wrote that one in there.
Oh man,
we like the Jews. Yeah. By the way,
what's that? Just,
we like the Jews.
Oh yeah, big fan. Yeah. Some of my best friends are Jewish. That's what we were supposed to say, right?
Shout out to Nate Camazar.
Yeah. Oh man. So, there is something I did notice about the assassins, because part of the whole plot was him, you know, learning how to kill the assassins and then killing them in ways that were very, that made him feel really good about it, because they had annoyed the shit out of him. And he was, you know, he needed to do it to feel better and to move on. And he's finally like, yes, I'm going to do this in the most satisfying way possible. He didn't kill the little person.
Yeah, he did.
He tied him. You know, he like tied him up, right?
Well, yeah, with the rest of him. Then he threw the little bomb in.
Did
the
he blow
back
him
of
up?
Truck with him. Yeah,
he did.
That's
blow
how the little
him
guy
okay.
killed him.
Okay,
he walked right. up and slapped a grenade on your back, and
I must have missed that part. Okay, I was like, that's offensive, and then he didn't kill him. Like, equal opportunity, right? You're supposed to kill all of them.
That's the kill whole all the women and people with disabilities and other, you know, everything. Yeah. Kill everyone, right?
Everybody.
Isn't that the...
Everybody trying to kill him, he's got to kill them. Exactly. So the, I guess the heart of the movie, you could say, the relationship with his son, who is he had with Naomi Watts, and his son, they connect by playing Street Fighter, which was pretty nice. But, you know, part of it was them.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do the they celebrate, and he does the arm thing, which is great. Nice nostalgia. So guys who are going to watch this movie are definitely guys, first of all, and they definitely played Street Fighter in the 90s and 2000s. So this pandering, but it's perfect. Is there a chance that there's going to be a 12-year-old in 2021 who plays Street Fighter 2 Tournament Edition? Probably pretty low, but they connected with it, and it was great.
It's also buying some sort of like black market Pokemon cards,
or yeah, black market
magic
Pokemon
cards. That's kind of what it's. He bought some sort of cards off some guy.
By the way, King, Pokemon or Pokemon?
Pokemon.
There you go. So sorry, Ski, you're out of this one.
The Pokemans.
What'd you guys think of Will Sasso?
I honestly thought he was dead. So I was surprised.
I was pretty surprised to see him. Like, out of all the people in this movie, including Mel Gibson, I was maybe a little more surprised to see Will Sasso in this movie.
To be the head of security as well.
I know.
He did get his comedy in there when he got the sword in his head and he was his death walking
scene.
Around.
Death scene was quality. He said, "I smell muffins." He's like a, and then he got called a 400-pound unicorn because he had this knife.
Yeah, sword in his
head. Then he said, "I'm just going to take a walk," and dies. It's very funny. It was weird seeing it. And seeing him play this character who's supposed to be some sort of like scary authority person was very silly as well.
He was in the Three Stooges movie. I mean,
I think it's the last time I saw him.
You cannot take him serious in a role.
No. You know, I think the only way this movie failed at any point during it was when they tried to get Grillo to act. Like, yeah. when they tried to get him to do like the emotional parts with the son.
Before we move on to that,
yeah, sure.
Do you guys know what Will Sasso's first on-screen role was?
Other than it's not Mad TV?
Nope. No, like movie. Uh-huh.
It was probably something really like famous, right?
No.
Like Forrest Gump.
No, he was a mover number one in Happy Gilmore.
In Happy Gilmore.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's great.
Hey, you hit that lady. Shouldn't have been standing there.
I forgot what I was talking about. Frank Grillo not acting. Yeah. That was the only downfall of this movie was when they tried to get him to act. See, it works in John Wick because when Keanu has that like one or two scenes where he has to act, he's Keanu Reeves and he's better. I wouldn't say Keanu Reeves is a great actor, but I would say he's a good actor, and it's elevated in that the movie, like a movie like John Wick, doesn't require great acting. It just requires good acting.
Vaya con Dios.
I know Kung Fu. And then Grillo, he's a couple levels lower than Keanu Reeves. I think we could say that. And this movie did require a little bit of it because he, you know, sits there on the bench with the kid dying over and over again when the world is ending because the machine is exploding. So it does require something like that, but that was.
See, I was going to go with they tried a little hard with that Osiris and like the Egyptian, like what happened then. Yeah, didn't need that.
The book. So the book was needed for the clues so he could eventually figure it out. But comparing them to Osiris is was because sort of
the Osiris spindle was whatever the machine used to do that. It's like, eh.
Yep. Agreed.
Didn't really need the history lesson there.
The ending was a little bit ridiculous, but the movie's ridiculous. And so it kind of, it worked. You know, him walking into the machine and then he has to relive the day one more time, which doesn't
well, that, really... It counts now. It doesn't, he won't
yeah, but,
come back.
But why after that, why would he have to relive it? Why couldn't it just, whatever. I don't know. So when it went, like when the machine goes crazy, when he's standing in it, it doesn't explode because the machine looks like it's about to explode. But, you know, whatever. I don't need the ending to be perfect because I really like the movie up until that point. So.
I am glad they didn't show like that run. You know, just show him waking up.
The perfect run.
The one that counts. Yeah, the one that counts. And I'm kind of intrigued to know where in the city you could get from his apartment in 12 minutes to
the
basement of that building in 12 minutes.
What does he do? Because what order does he take? Because he would have to go, he'd have to do the thing where he'd have to go save his ex-wife. Like, you have to save Naomi Watts first. It's literally the first thing he has to do. And then kill Mel Gibson and Will Sasso at the same time. And then all the assassins are also there. Now he knows how to kill them. So he'd have to kill them. But then what do you do? Like, do you go, like, because what happens with the machine? Does the machine suddenly stop? Or
it's supposed to just, like, reset. It's not running anymore.
Just resets. It's not running. Okay, so, but if it's not running, then wouldn't Mel Gibson's character notice that? And realize that something's wrong, or I don't know. Does it just reset to what it was before she fucked it up? Or
you're trying to go a little too deep on this kind of
thing. I think I am. That's what I was trying to avoid, frankly. Because if you start overthinking these movies, then it ruins it. I'm not trying to do that because I like this movie. You guys anything?
This is a Frank Grillo vehicle. You don't think too deep on things.
You're not wrong. By the way, the director of this movie is Joe Carnahan, also directed Smokin' Aces. also directed The A-Team, also directed The Gray, which is that
Liam Neeson
movie with the wolf. Yeah, that one. And
A-Team's a good movie too.
Smoking aces. That was supposed to be such a good block. Like, oh, here's Jimmy Piven and card tricks.
people learned
with murder.
People learned really quickly that Jeremy Piven is not that guy. He's not.
Hey, bud, you're not that guy.
You're not that guy, pal. You're not that guy.
He should not be the lead actor in movies. Period. They tried.
Well, he was the lead actor in The Goods. It was like a used car.
The used car sale.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's his vehicle right there.
Don't tell me that's a good movie.
It's a fantastic movie.
Fuck you. That movie's so fucking bad.
It's so bad.
God.
Did you guys enjoy Smoking Aces?
I don't really remember it, if I'm honest.
No.
But hey, I will say A-Team's good.
Ski, you are allowed to say no.
No.
See the elevator. Make a trick. Jimmy Piven. Entourage. Get the fuck out.
Oh, man. All right, let's rank this thing. Let's grade it. So I guess I will start because it's
your movie.
My movie. I will start. I am going to give this movie... I feel weird giving it anything higher than this just because of the kind of movie it is. I'm going to give this movie a 4 times guys got stabbed in the dick out of 5. Because guys got stabbed in the dick a lot in this movie with really big swords.
Got shot in the dick as well.
Shot in the dick. Yep, he did. That's right. the amount of times his package just got mangled before he died. I like this movie so much. I didn't like. I was like King. I didn't go into it with really much expectations, but man, I enjoyed it. It was fun.
This is a very specific genre now, yep,
which and I
if
like.
You like one, you should like them all. Like I said, if you like the Crank movies, you like Deadpool, you're gonna like this movie. Yep. So I'm gonna give it a 4.25. Guan Yin did this.
I like it.
All right, I will give it a 4. Hey, I'm anti-Semitic, but I make decent movies out of 5.
Hire me. Oh, hire you'll me. Hire me? Okay. I wonder if that's a fear when the people who hire him, I wonder if that's something they have to deal with.
Yeah, they probably look at someone named like Marty Smith. They're like, is it okay that he's anti-Semitic? I'm like, why? Because my name is fucking Marty? I'm not Jewish. I'm Catholic Protestant. Like, what are you looking at me for? Like, I'm not...
They're like, of course you can hire him.
The arbiter of Mel Gibson's anti-Semitism.
No, but like seriously, I wonder if that's something they have to deal with.
You'll,
like
the ramifications I think you'll find
of
out
hiring
if,
Mel Gibson.
If they end up actually making Lethal Weapon 5, that'll be your answer.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't make it, then you'll know why. He just will never be in that kind of movie again. But if they do make it, he's all the way back. That's big time Hollywood kind of movie right there.
Too old for this shit, Riggs. He is officially too old for that shit. Danny Glover's too old for that shit.
When Bird on a Wire 2 comes out, I'll know that Mel Gibson is back.
let's do a sequel to the Jesus movie.
I think they are. Passion of the Christ? Yeah.
Oh,
of course they are.
Jim Caviezel. Man, what a weirdo.
Henry Caviezel, I believe.
Whatever his name is.
I thought it was Jim. I think it's Jim.
Isn't it Henry Cavill?
Cavill, that's him. Yeah. All right, yeah. I'm thinking Henry Cavill.
Are we mixing up Marvel characters and Jesus?
Henry Cavill.
And Jesus. Well, I mean,
it's DC because it's Superman, but
whatever.
Whatever.
God. I mean,
whatever,
Jesus, no Jesus is whatever. The, I mean, he's the original superhero, right?
Yeah, Jesus is the original Superman. Exactly. Jesus is my Superman.